Let my mouth be full of your praise.
And your glory all the day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated now as we listen to the word proclaimed.
Reading from Genesis. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him in the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven from God with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel and said, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 121 responsibly. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at the right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from who you have learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, whom is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people who will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carrying out your ministry fully. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him, saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet this widow keeps bothering me. I will grant her justice so that she will not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. According to the parable in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells this story because they were having a problem with prayer. Well before our 21st century and the distractions of modern life, people were having problems with prayer. Jesus knew his disciples had prayer problems and that we have prayer problems too. And that's why he told a parable. We do have prayer problems, questions and concerns and issues with prayer. Some of us wonder, does God really hear our prayer? Some of our prayers seem to go so unanswered. Our prayer list just gets longer and longer as we add new names and new concerns. We pray for health, and then we have to go to the doctor and have more tests. We pray for an end of war. We pray for peace. And more troops are deployed, and the war continues to wage all over the world. We pray for our children, and they end up in deep trouble and in serious situations. We do have problems with prayer. But when we really get down to it, the most serious problem we have is that we lose heart. We give up. We lose courage and confidence and trust that it makes any difference whether we pray or not. We just lose heart. So Jesus told a parable. It was an ancient city, and as you passed through the front gate of that city, on the right-hand side of the road, there was a big building, a prison, with barred windows through which the prisoners stuck out their hands begging for a morsel of food or some money. On the other side of the road was a large open-air hall, a big building, the Court of Justice. At the far end of that court, on a slightly raised platform, sat the judge. He was an ordinary-looking man, but surrounding him, lots of cushions. You knew that this man was in a place of honor. But honorable he was not. This judge, this particular judge, had really given the whole justice system a bad name. That phrase that we use to refer to judges, we say, "Your Honor," that was almost blasphemy to say to this man. There was nothing honorable about him. He was sitting on that platform, the judge's seat, and he would talk first to this one and then to that one, this gaggle of secretaries and underlings who were surrounding him. This man who had no love of God, no respect for other people. Especially, he didn't care for the poor, the widows, the orphans, the very people that he was particularly responsible for. These were the people that it was his duty to make sure they were cared for. Those were the people he really didn't like. And those were the people that filled the rest of the hall. These were the ordinary people who had concerns and cares that needed justice done. And their voices filled the hall as they tried to call out for his attention. But there were other people who knew the better way to get the judge's attention. They would whisper to the secretary, or maybe press a little bag of gold into, or money into, this secretary's hand. And when that secretary's hand was heavy enough, he would whisper to the judge, who would then say, "Oh yes, let me hear this case," and justice would be done. It seemed that justice had a lot to do with the highest bid, not with what was right. At least that was the story in this particular judge's court. There was a woman at the end of the hall, in the far corner, who didn't seem to know the rule of the game, didn't know how to play, or at least she didn't care, because she stood and hollered, "Give me justice, give me justice." Other people tried to quiet her, but day after day she took her post, telling them, "I will be right here every day until I get my case heard, until that judge hears me out against my opponent." Well, finally, the judge couldn't stand it anymore. "What does that woman want?" So he says, "She's giving my court a bad name. And pretty soon she will give me a black eye. What's your story?" Jesus doesn't tell the story, but it could be this. She was widowed and left with only one child. A young man who plowed that one small plot of land for the two of them, provided a living, a fine food, and a place to live. Well, he got inscripted into the service, and now she's left alone. Well, certainly has still having the land, she is not destitute, but because she has no one to help her, she is destitute. No one will help her to plant the land. She has nothing. And the tax collectors continue to come after her. And she says, "I'm a widow. My only child is in the service. I am exempt from taxes." But they won't listen to her. They continue to demand that she pay. So she wants her story heard. The judge hears her story. Cold-hearted man that he is, he hardly cares. But because she just is driving him crazy with her on and on shouting, "Give me justice," he finally says, "Let her be exempt so she will leave me alone." So her perseverance is rewarded. Now that's the story that Jesus told in order for us to learn to hear, "Pray always and don't lose heart." What are we supposed to get out of that story that tells us to pray always and not lose heart? Some say that Jesus wants us to keep our eye on that unjust judge, on that corrupt judge. Jesus did say to his disciples, "Pay attention to what that judge said." So what do we see when we pay attention to the judge? Well, even this God-hating, this man that has no respect for God, has no respect for people, who's not interested in justice at all, and at the end of the day, he does grant the woman justice, the justice that she is demanding, the news that she needs to hear in order for her to survive. So maybe Jesus is teaching us that the world is not as bad as it seems. Hang in there. Things will get better in the end. Even though trouble lurks around every corner and the world is filled with bad news, after all, it is God's world. This is a world ruled by a just God, and in the end, there will be justice. Well, maybe, but that's not all of it. If that were the core of this parable that Jesus told, the moral of the story would be, take heart. Things aren't as bad as they seem to be. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, pray always and do not lose heart. So maybe Jesus wants us to keep our eyes focused on that widow. She was intent on getting justice. She didn't need that Turkle guy to go on the news to make her story public. She was doing her own shouting. Did you hear the story about this last week on the news? The woman who went down to her deceased husband's toolbox, got a hammer, and went to the Cox Cable Company and took it out on the phone because she could not get a straight answer from the cable people. Finally, she just had it. Well, this widow didn't go get a hammer and beat on that judge's bench. She just took her place and hollered, give me justice, give me justice. Finally, managing to wear down that unjust judge. Well, maybe that's what Jesus wants us to pay attention to. Pray like that persistent widow. Cry out. Don't give up. Well, maybe. But that's not the all of it. If that were the whole meaning of the parable, Jesus would have said, the moral of this story is, be feisty. Pray always. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, pray always and do not lose heart. In the end, this parable that Jesus told isn't a story about an unjust judge who doesn't care about God or people. It isn't about a persistent widow who won't give up. In the end, it's a story about God and about you and me. Jesus teaches by an ancient method of telling a story that's less to help us know the truth of the more, going from small to big, going from less to more. So he says, if a corrupt judge responds, how much more will a loving God respond? If a widow, persistent, finally gets her justice, how much more will you, beloved child of God, get justice? And how much more will a loving God finally move our hearts to do justice in the world? We're the judge in that story. We are the ones that have the authority, the power to bring about justice in the world. Maybe Jesus tells this story to move our hearts to act for justice. But this story, Jesus says, is about prayer. Our prayer life sustains us in the worst of times, and it keeps us close. It's an ongoing process, a relationship. This parable teaches us about God and about Jesus finding faith on earth when he returns, finding people who hung in there through everything, people who have trusted in God. Rather than thinking that prayer is a matter of getting or not getting the things that we pray for, thinking that God does or does not answer our petitions, think of prayer as a process, a relationship. It's like a friendship. We don't count the times that we talk to our friends. We just know that we do talk, that we do share things, that we have a relationship. Prayer is about a relationship with God. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, regardless of what comes of it, you are going to trust the process because the process itself gives you life. The process keeps you engaged with what matters the most to you so that you do not lose heart. We pray so that we don't lose heart. Prayer keeps our hearts chasing after the heart of God. Prayer is how we hold on to God and how God holds on to us. So we pray always and do not lose heart. If we stay engaged in that process, then our hearts will become the hearts of God. And that's one thing that we can never lose, God's heart.